We love to complain. So how not to complain? We'll talk about in the next verse, where this same knowledge, Bhagwan continues in verse number 68. Tasmadasya Mahabaho. Nigrahitani Sarvashah. Indriyani Indriyarthebhyah. Tasya Prajna Pratishthita. So again, Bhagavan repeats, Tasya Prajna Pratishthita. Such a person, his wisdom, Prajna Pratishthita, is firmly established. He is firmly established in the truth, in the wisdom. Tasmat. So having the last three, four verses, so like a good speaker will, you know, say, well, you know, this is what you should do, this is what you should eat, and this is what is good for health. And he's saying, therefore, I'm selling this product, you know, which is healthy. So after having given a long introduction, he'll say, therefore, this is what you should buy. So here also Bhagwan, having told us why the senses should be controlled, he says, therefore, Asya Mahabaho, O Mahabaho, he calls Arjuna Mahabaho, a great warrior, mighty armed warrior. Now why does he call him that? Because as we know, Arjuna was at that time the greatest warrior of his time. There was nobody equal to him in archery. And how did he acquire the skill? It is said for 12 years when he was in the forest, he did tremendous tapas, tremendous penance. Not only, you know, practiced his archery, but did a lot of meditation, fasting. So physically and mentally, he could become strong. And it is said Lord Shiva got pleased with him, because one time he even fought Lord Shiva. That's how much power he had. And then Lord Shiva blessed him with the Pashupati Astra, you know, the great weapon that he could use in the battle. So when Bhagavan calls him Mahabaho, what he's saying is, you are a great warrior. You have done so much tapas. You have so much mind control, where you could do it in the forest for 12 years. Now is the opportunity to use your skills and use your mind, that use your bodily skills and luck. Now, just like a boat gets sidetracked, you are getting sidetracked that, oh, I'm not supposed to do my duty, and I want to go to the forest and I want to meditate. And he said, that's not your... So you are getting distracted from your own goal, just as boat gets. So nigrahitani sarvashah. So these senses should be controlled at all times, from all the way. Always one should keep the mind and senses under control. Not destroy them, but we'll talk about that, but control them. And indriyani indriyarthebhyah. So indriyartha means sense objects. Indriyani means senses. So one whose senses are under his control and not running out into sense objects, tasya prajna pratishthita, his wisdom is established. So we talked about mighty armed. In fact, there's a story about Arjuna that one time he went to heaven. He had that much a power in him with his, while he was living, he went to heaven. And Urvashi, who is supposed to be the most beautiful apsara in heaven, there's nobody even close to her anywhere on earth. She wanted to have a child from Arjuna, and he said no. So that much discipline he had over his body. So he says, you have all that discipline. How is it that you are suddenly getting deviated from your goal? So when Bhagwan says control the sense organs, does not mean I destroy my sense organs. You can't walk around, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no. You can't do that, because the world is constantly somebody was telling that at every minute there is some million impulses that are coming. I don't know, some figure people come up with. I don't know who does all this research. But they say there are millions of impulses constantly coming at us. I see, hear. And now, and we have made it even worse, you know, with the cell phone and with the internet and with the computer. We have just increased our TV, you know, and all the, what they, all of these things do is they dull our intelligence, especially for children, you know, when they are exposed too much to TV and internet and computer and all, it makes them less intelligent. And that is what we are doing to our future generation. We are making them stupid. I mean, that's the, not the right word, but that is the truth. We are making them so dependent on all these that they have. One time Nehru told somebody, you should come to Balvihar. This is true story. So he says, why should I come to Balvihar? So she says, well, you can hear, learn about Ram and Krishna and all. He said, why should I come? I can just Google them. So I can Google Ram. Why do I need to read Ram? So that's what we are, and there is so much importance in letting them play outside and let them interact with people. And same thing for us. We have no time to talk to people, to interact. And it is so much better to talk to somebody than to text him. You know, we say, oh, it's easy to text. But that person-to-person contact where you can draw energy from each other, and that is very, very important. That's why social gatherings are good. And, you know, gatherings like these where we can share information, where we can exchange. So that exchange of energy is so important, because it is the Gurudev himself and Lord himself who is with us. That's why in one place Bhagavan says, he says, wherever there is satsang going on, I am there. In one place in the Gita, he says, wherever people meet, in the 10th chapter, he says, wherever people meet and talk about me, I am there. If you want to find me, go to satsang. So that's what we should think, that Krishna is with us, and that's why our Gurudev is with us. So the senses are not to be destroyed, but they are to be controlled, where it should not wildly take me away, but I should decide what I'm going to see. Not only the sense organs, but even organs of action, and even mind and intellect. We say we may control the senses, but the mind gets runs here and there. No, even mind should be intermixed. Even speech, what I should speak, what I should not speak, what I should do, what I should not do, where I should go, where I should not go. So life should be measured, but does not mean that you become an extreme and, you know, not deal with people and all, but live a life of moderation. But I should choose what I eat, what I speak, what I do, who I meet, who I associate with. So control the senses, and they should all be controlled. The karmendriya, jnanendriya, and antakarana. So the karmendriya are the organs of action, hands, feet, speech, genital organs, organs of procreation, excretory organs and organs of procreation, those five, and then sense organs, eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue, and antakarana, mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar. So mind, intellect, ego, and memory. So all these 14 should be under my control. Five sense organs, five organs of action, and five internal equipment. So all should be under control, and one should be calm. That's how you become calm, because what disturbs me, the senses are going to be there. Everybody, even the wise person and you and I, live in the same world. The wise person also sees the same object as you and I do, but we get disturbed. And he does not, because his mind is under his control. So they say that be calm and do not complain. Never complain. Decide that from today onward, I'm not going to complain. First of all, complaining doesn't do any good. All it does is disturb us. Secondly, if you stop complaining, 100% of your problems will be solved. You say 100? Yes. 100, not even 90, 100%. Because the majority of problems are mental. Physical problems, though, hey, everybody has, and they will happen. You will get arthritis, you will get pain. That is part. Once you have in human skin, you are going to get these. So what is to complain about? If tomorrow I get arthritis, or I get pain, or I get headache, or I get some... That's the nature of the body. What is to complain about? as I get older, I'll get weaker, I'll be walking with a walking stick and a walker. What is to complain? And ultimately, I have to drop my body again. What is to complain about? It's going to happen. Anybody live forever? Even Bhagwan Krishna didn't live forever. Jesus did not live forever. Ramchandraji did not live forever. Buddha did not live forever. Why do we expect? Nothing to complain physically. Most of our complaints are mental. I don't like it. Why is this happening? Why is it happening to me? You know, that is the chronic thing. Why is it not happening to my neighbor? He never goes to Gita class. He never go, and I do go to church, and I every Sunday I go and I pray, and this guy does nothing. So stop complaining, because 100% of our problems are mental. Physical problems are not really problems. That is like a car, you know, after 50,000 miles or 80,000 or 100,000 miles, is going to stop running one day. You have to get a new car. So body and drop. The main problem is mental. 99%, 100% of our problems are because we don't accept situations as they are. We always are complaining. And there are two or three methods of accepting. One is karma, that I did this karma, so that's why it is happening. Or this is an opportunity for me to grow. The Lord, the divine doctor, has produced this. Third is, whatever is happening is for good. Nothing is bad. And the fifth and the best is, it's not real anyway. It's just a play. And why am I complaining? Like when you go to a movie, do you complain why this villain is, you know, molesting the heroine? You don't complain. You say that's part. And you know that the hero will come and beat him up. So that also we know. So that's why we watch the movie very happily. If in the movie the villain wins and the hero and heroine suffer, then we say it wasn't a good movie. Achhi nahi thi. You know, we want the good people to win. You know, that's a happy ending. Everybody's happy. Villain is in jail. Hero, heroine get married and live happily ever after. Never have any problems. So stop complaining. And how do we control the senses? So they say start with diet. Be very selective. Actually, I also should need to learn this. Neeru was telling me when I was preparing, she said, you need to practice this first. So, you know, eat things that are healthy. You know, eat things that are healthy. Not only go by taste, but what is good for us. Because diet, as Bhagavan says in the 14th and 17th chapter, eating sattvic food makes our mind sattvic. And the more rajasic food you eat, the more spicy, the more pungent, the more, then it makes your mind more agitated. So if you want your mind to be peaceful, and even doctors and dietitians tell us that you have to eat healthy, eat more fruits, vegetables, eat fresh food, eat lightly cooked food, you know, not very spicy. And then, of course, tamasic food like alcohol and drugs and all. We all know that takes your mind. And here I'd like to, I know it's a little controversial topic, but just bring up the point of vegetarianism. Because if we are on the spiritual path, then eating another animal that is killed and, you know, destroyed and horribly suffered before the animal is killed, we are participating in the negative karma of that, you know, that death of that animal. So if we are on the spiritual path, it is very important to eat a vegetarian diet, because there is one unity that runs in all lives. So when I'm eating any meat or fish or chicken or whatever, I am actually participating. Because an animal, even a fish, when it is caught in the net, how badly she suffers and, you know, for how long she's, you know, suffering before the breath goes out of her. People always say protein and all that. But to me, I think it's a very big price to pay, because all the negative, and then how it affects our brain. Because all the negative karmas of that individual who has killed that animal come to us if we participate in that. So diet is very, very important. And remember that senses are very seductive. Just as when a seductive call comes and we cannot control our mind, So senses are seductive. And to do that, the master says, simplify your life. Simplify, simplify, simplify. It's like I want to buy a house. And the realtor says, sir, what kind of house? Or madam, what kind of house? And we give 50 conditions. House should be like this, 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 this. Realtor says, see you later. You know, go see somebody else. Why? Because I have too many. This guy has too many conditions. He wants this, this. If you say, I want these five things, he'll say, okay, let's talk. I can find you a suitable house. So similarly, in our life, instead of increasing our demands, as we have found with advertising and everything, I feel I must have this. Make your life simple. If you have enough clothes, no need to go shopping. If your house is decent enough, no need to buy a bigger house. If your car is running, no need to change your car every 3 years. People say, oh, I lease my car and for taxes. But it is all bad for the environment. So do things that are conducive and simplify your life. Live life more simple and avoid unnecessary purchase, unnecessary spending, unnecessary. Does not mean that one should not have fun. I'm not saying that. Obviously, we need to travel. You need to see the world. You need to take your kids on vacations. And that's very good because that's how you spend time. But live my life. I should live simply. Make my life simple and reduce the demands. Instead of 50, make 5. Then the realtor will talk to us. Then Bhagavan will say, okay, you want to learn spirituality, Guru? You cannot be running in 50 directions and then sit down with Swami Chinmayananda and say, teach me the Bhagavad Gita. He'll say, your mind is running in 50 directions. Reduce it to 5. Sit down in front of the Guru and say, now I am ready to learn. So that is the essence of this beautiful verse.